How do you not watch this show? It's got everything! Dr. Valerie Garver is a professor at Northern Illinois University and actually teaches a class on Game of Thrones. She joins us on the phone right now. How are you, Dr. Garver?
I'm good.
Thank you very much for jumping on the phone with us. I appreciate, you know, Game of Thrones comes back tomorrow night. And I'm guessing since you teach a class on it that you're not just somebody who watches the shows, but you've probably also read all the books, right?
I did read all the books, yes.
I will tell you, I'm three quarters of the way done with the first book. I ended up buying them all, and now whenever I get a chance, I read. I've watched all the episodes, but I'm starting to read the books now and really enjoying them. But let me ask you this, because from what I understand, the show has now caught up to the books. And so we're, for the first time, if you already read the books, for the first time tomorrow night, you really, and I don't know, it hasn't been purely to the letter of the books, but for the first time tomorrow night, you really don't know what's going to happen, right?
That's true. Yeah, this will be the first season where I don't know what's coming, although I must say I watched the first season before I ever read the books. So in that season, I didn't know what was coming either. So this will be my second season, I guess.
Well, that's really interesting. Like it's really two different ways to watch it, isn't it? Because you didn't see the big reveal in the first season. I guess, can we say this now? If you haven't watched it, you haven't watched it. But you saw what happened to Ned coming, but you didn't see it because you hadn't read the books yet. Yet a couple seasons later, The Red Wedding, you did know that that was coming.
Correct.
So how would you recommend to people then, if people are still, I haven't gotten into the show yet, or I watched the show but I haven't read the books, would you say, you know what, catch up on the show before you read the books, or would you say read the books and then watch the show? What do you think is the better way to do it?
I think it depends on how you feel about spoilers. The reason I read the books as soon as I finished the first season was I thought the show is getting to be big and I'll be upset if someone tells me how it comes out. and I wanted to be surprised, so I read the books so I could have the surprise that way.
So if people take your honors class on Game of Thrones, do you guys read the books in class? Do they need to have read the books beforehand? Can they just watch the show? How does it work?
In fact, I don't require them to read the books at all, and the majority of the students who took it both this year and last year have not read the books. So the class is focused more on the TV show, and I use it as a hook to talk about medieval history. So we talk about the Middle Ages. They read sources from the Middle Ages. They also read literature that professional historians have written about the Middle Ages, and then we compare it to the television show.
Now, the show isn't necessarily set in the Middle Ages because it's not necessarily set on Earth, right? It's just a time in a place that we, I believe, unless you know stuff I don't know, that we don't really know of. I mean, there's dragons. It does seem very medieval, but how well, you know, I heard that you've said this pretty accurately represents the medieval times and medieval ages. Does it really? Is it just in the lack of technology, or do you believe in the human interaction as well?
Well, what I've said is that it represents certain aspects of the Middle Ages really well. I would argue it represents certain aspects better than media that purports to be realistic and definitely depicting something historical. It definitely does not depict the Middle Ages. It's a fantasy, right? Just
right.
As you said. And so I think what's interesting about it is that to create this world that seems believable, they make it seem an awful lot like the medieval world. And that makes it interesting for a medievalist because it's a chance to kind of see how would some of the social or cultural aspects of the Middle Ages play out. So it's a good way to talk about, I would say, sort of more the cultural side of the Middle Ages, some of the social issues, gender relations, things like that. It's much more difficult, like if you were to, at least for me, I would say to match up to something and say, oh, politics worked exactly this way. There's some aspects of the politics that are similar to the Middle Ages, but, you know, it's a little bit harder, I think, to explore.
Let's talk about the gender issue for a minute, because the show's gotten a bit of heat and controversy over its handling of its women characters. Some female characters seem very strong. Some get abused very badly. How do you view how the show handles women?
Well, I think it's difficult to say in a general way if I like approve or disapprove. In some ways, I think it is opening up important conversations. I think it's more than to have right now. So in that sense, if it's getting people to talk about issues, especially about sexual violence, that's a good thing. On the other hand, an aspect of it that I don't particularly care for is when people say, well, there's all this sexual violence against women in the show because that's just how things were in the Middle Ages. This is providing a kind of historical verisimilitude. It makes it seem like the historic past, and that represents that historic past well, because the reality is there's choices made, right, about what they depict that seems medieval, and then there's certainly parts of the show that aren't medieval at all, like you mentioned the dragons. But there's a lot of other things. Like if you think about, you know, I mentioned sort of social history. In terms of that, you would see a lot more people dying of disease in the show if it was really following along with kind of a historical trajectory. Because in the Middle Ages, many people died of, you know, diseases that now we can easily cure. So they're making choices about what they do, and they clearly made a choice to depict a lot of sexual violence. So I think you can't just say, well, it's inevitable to be in the show because it's historical. I think they've chosen to depict that. On the other hand, I am sympathetic to people say, well, warfare often brings about violence, particularly against women. And I think in that sense, there's something to that argument. So I guess I'm not giving you a clear answer.
No, it is interesting because you're saying, they can choose what they want to show or not show because they choose certain parts that are medieval and certain parts that aren't. They could change that if they wanted to. But would you say that it is relatively historically accurate that women were more property in a lot of ways and abused very badly in the ways that they are on the show back in times like that?
I would say they were treated more as property than they are in, say, the modern United States. That's for sure. And that relates also to their legal system. So, for example, rape was considered more of a crime in most cases in the Middle Ages against the husband or the father or another male relative or against the family than it was a personal crime against the woman. So in that case, yes. I'm not so sure that I would be willing to say that there's increased sexual violence. I'm not sure if that's quite what you're asking me, but that there's more sexual violence somehow in the Middle Ages. The problem is it's a hard thing for us to measure as medievalists.
Well, I guess what I'm asking if it's accurate is how acceptable it seems on the show, not like that good people are accepting it, but just that, you know, these things happening today, we would really freak out about and be extremely upset about. There's some things happening on that show where people are like, yeah, he's a terrible person, but they're not, you know, rising up against them because of those acts. Other acts maybe, but the acts against women doesn't seem to nobody's batting an eye that badly at.
I think the problem, though, is that today there are people who have similar opinions, say, about women. So,
sure.
For example, the idea that a woman who is raped is somehow damaged goods, I think that that's something that we still kind of see in our culture. So I'm not sure that I would want to say we're somehow...
I'm not saying we're better now. I understand. I'm not trying to say that at all. Let's take a quick break. We got to take a commercial, but I do want to ask you some more questions, including, you know, let's stay on the subject of women because Cersei and Sansa Stark and there's a lot of very interesting and Arya have very interesting arcs in their characters. While we've seen women be terribly abused, we see women in power, both abusing power and rising up against power. So there's a lot of different dynamics. We'll talk about next. We're speaking with Dr. Valerie Garver from Northern Illinois University, where she teaches an honors class, one of her classes, on Game of Thrones. Next on 720 WGN. It's Matt Bubala in for John Williams here on Radio 720 WGN. We're a few minutes away from the beat, getting you ready for that Hawks game tonight. And I'm sure the guys will keep you abreast on everything else going on in the sporting world. We've got a few more minutes with Dr. Valerie Garver. She is a professor at Northern Illinois University. Dr. Garver, so we were talking a little bit about the female characters on the show. Now, you've got three very interesting, you've got probably about 10. There's about 100 characters on the show, I think. And we could go through a list of female characters, but let's focus on Cersei, the queen mother now, who went through a horrible situation last year where the religious sect imprisoned her. And then you've got Sansa Stark, who's been sold into marriage a number of times here. It's not working out very well for her, but she finally escapes Winterfell. And then you've got Arya Stark, who Arya is the young girl on the show who witnessed her father's beheading very early in the show and has been on the lam ever since, never to see any family members again. She keeps getting close, but then they die before she gets there. And ever since she was a young girl, she has had a list of people she wanted to kill that I think was about 20 deep. And late last season, she got to number one. And you know, there are these great moments of power for these women on the show and great moments of abuse. So what do you look forward to in the next season ahead, not knowing what's going to happen because they haven't written this book yet?
Oh, I'm very excited to see what will happen to all those female characters. For me, the female characters are in many ways, I think, the most interesting on the show. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what happens. I'm particularly curious to see what will happen to Sansa Stark now that she's escaped. I'm hoping, you know, for better times ahead for her, but also to see where her kind of narrative arc takes her, because I think she's one of the more interesting characters in that she actually does seem to sort of learn from the bad things that have happened to her, more so than some of the other characters who stay kind of the same no matter what happens.
One of the interesting things on this show is most shows, somewhat formulaically, at some point, good will win over evil. It's what we all in our hearts hope to see, right? On this show,
yes.
I don't remember how often, except for little moments, good is actually won out over evil. And when it does, it's often really good doing something evil to thwart evil. You know, when you talk about Arya, she kills this guy who's committing evil acts as she does it, but she, you know, heinously kills somebody and tortures them a little bit. I mean, even the good turns evil to get its revenge. How do you think that plays into our lives and how we deal with things or relate to things?
Well, I think it makes the show very human. Because I don't think that people are ever completely good or completely bad. And that's, of course, I'm affected in thinking that by being a historian, because we certainly see that historically. But I also think that's part of our present, and that people regularly have to grapple with, do I do something that could hurt another person or that could cause harm but might be for a greater good or a better outcome? And so I think it's a way of thinking through that to see that on the show and kind of think about the predicament of someone like Arya. It will definitely be interesting, too, to see where she goes with that, especially after the big event of the last season.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting characters. If you haven't caught up, you've got about a day to do it on demand. The new season of Game of Thrones premieres tomorrow night. And Dr. Garver, can we come up to Northern Illinois and just audit the class, maybe sit in for an afternoon? Is that possible?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. We don't have very many classes left. The semester's nearly over here. But
well, next year, we'll get through the season, then we'll talk to you next year and figure out where to go from there, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much for jumping on the phone, Dr. Valerie Garver at Northern Illinois.